Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos, Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Aleph Rosh Chodesh Iyar, should be a month of Ani Hashem Rufa Echa, a month of Besoros Tovos, Yeshuas, Simchas, Rafuos, Nachas, and Geula. For all of Klal Yisrael, Iyar stands for Ani Hashem Rufa Echa, so I hope everyone had a meaningful Yom Tov. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Of course, we continue to thank our sponsor and her family very, very much, who wish to remain anonymous. She always tells me, start the shiur without me. Don't wait, it's about the Torah. If I can't make it, just start shiur. So tizku l'mitzos u'lamaisim tovim. Hashem should repay you back boundless brachos for the herbatos haTorah that emanates from the shiur and from our appreciation. And I'll have a Shabbos, appreciation from Shabbos, and Shmir Shabbos. Okay, so let us get into our learning. So I hope everybody is well. I marked where we are up to in the Sefer. We are learning Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, making the most of Shabbos. We are on page 63 of the Sefer. And the section we are up to is called Borrow on My Account. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go back to the beginning of the section. I'm not going to review the same incense we already did. Last time we learned the Gemara Maseches Beitza inside, Beitza Tes Zayin Aleph. But we are just going to go back to the beginning of the subsection so we know where we are up to. So we are, the chapter is called The Sanctity of Shabbos and the Beis HaMikdash. If you remember, we spoke about many parallels between the Beis Mishkan / Beis HaMikdash and Shabbos. Big Day Kahuna, Big Day Shabbos, Menorah, Hadakas Neros, the Shulchan, our Shabbos table, the food, the Karmanos, the singing of the Levium, our Zmiros. So there are many parallels between the Avodas Kohanim and Levium and our Shabbos Kodesh. So bottom of page 62, again, I'm just reading to review. I'm not going through the same insights again. Borrow on my account. What we just explained about the Shabbos table of Pinchas says, sheds light on the following statement of Chazal. Chazal and now of Pinchas quotes from the Gemara Maseches Beitza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yisrael, my children borrow on my account and sanctify the day of Shabbos through Kiddush over wine. Have faith in me and I will pay. Furthermore, the Gemara says also in Beitza, all of a person's sustenance is allotted to him between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Except for expenses related to Shabbos, Yom Tov, and teaching his sons Torah. So there are three categories or areas that the Gemara says we can borrow on Hashem's account. Hashem takes care of them, totally. In other words, all the expenses, it's allotted how much parnasa a person will have from one Yomim Noraim to the next Yomim Noraim, except for three areas, Shabbos, Yom Tov, and teaching your sons Torah. If he spends less on those areas, then he will receive less, and if he spends more, he is given more. So we should have that in mind when we prepare for Shabbos, buy for Shabbos, prepare for Yom Tov, buy for Yom Tov, and not in those orders. Buy for Shabbos, prepare, buy for Yom Tov, prepare, and also the expenses to send our sons to Torah. Rashi explains, and last time we did the Gemara inside with commentary. Rashi explains that all the money a person, Rashi and the Gemara, all the money a person is destined to earn during the year is allocated at this time, meaning the Yomim Noraim, so he should be careful not to overspend. If he does, extra income will not be granted. A person needs to spend responsibly. We have to know the income, and we have to know how much things cost, and we have to buy responsibly and spend within our means. However, so therefore, if he should be careful not to overspend. If he overspends, extra income will not be granted to him, and he will lack what he needs. But this is not so with regard to Shabbos expenses. So when we buy meat for Shabbos, dips for Shabbos, challah for Shabbos, I don't know, flowers for Shabbos, soup for Shabbos with ingredients you need to make your soup, I made mine last night. For such outlays, a person is supplied by heaven according to what he is accustomed. So we should have in mind, when we buy for Shabbos, I'm buying this for Shabbos. It's not a trick, it's not a joke, it's really have in mind. I'm buying this for Shabbos. Of course, Baruch Hu says those expenses you get more because you're buying for Shabbos Kodesh. Let's say a person goes into debt to buy a new car he doesn't need. So a person wants a new car just because everyone else has a new car. It's the latest style, it's electric, it's hybrid, whatever it is, but you don't need it. He's not living within the budget of what Hashem allotted to him. That's not a necessity of what you need. So you're spending beyond your means. Of what was allotted to by the Yomim Noraim. What will happen? So Taka, he'll be lacking in sustenance. But this does not apply to expenses for Shabbos and Yom Tov. And you want to hear what's in parentheses? And Rosh Chodesh, according to Tosfos. That's mamash what it says. Today's Rosh Chodesh. Interesting. So Tosfos adds an interesting nakuda that what you spend for Shabbos and Yom Tov, Hashem gives you more. and Rosh Chodesh. So if you buy something nice in honor of Rosh Chodesh, whether it's for yourself or your children to make the Yom special, so Tosfos says Hashem adds for you onto that as well. Today is Rosh Chodesh, and so is tomorrow. There's no limit on what we can spend for them, no limit. Hashem says to us, borrow on my account and I will pay. So this past Sunday, the day after Yom Tov / Shabbos, which came, I took one of my boys shopping. He's always in Yeshiva Baruch Hashem, and there's really never any time, and his man was starting Monday, last Monday. So Sunday, he needed a few new things for Yeshiva. So he needed a few new pairs of pants, and a new davening jacket, and a new notebook, and new pens, what else, a belt, Baruch Hashem. So we went shopping, and we were talking about this Gemara, when we were walking on Central Avenue, because we were buying things for Yeshiva. And one of the stores we went into to buy the notebooks and the pens is a more expensive store than had it would have cost from going to Amazing Savings. But I said to my son, it was taking a long time, you know, you have to try the pens, they have to see how, they have to measure, trying the jacket. It takes time, shopping takes time, and Baruch Hashem, the stores are busy, and whatever, he needed these items. So we were close to a store where I knew I could get notebooks and pens for more expensive than Amazon or Amazing Savings. And I said to my son, we're here. It's going to take us more time to go park and go to another place, go to Main Savings. We're just going to go in and buy it. So when we left the store, my son said to me, these items are for sending your children to Torah. And what you spend to send your children to Torah, Hashem pays you back. So I said to my son, Beitza, Tes Zion Alf. We were talking about on Central Avenue. So I did say to him, we have to know, it doesn't mean we could spend irresponsibly. So if I have a choice, if within a store, and I have a choice, I'm buying for Shabbos or Yom Tov, Tosfos says Rosh Chodesh, or to send my son to learn Torah. Doesn't mean I could spend irresponsibly and, you know, I don't know, buy a notebook for $1,000 if they have a notebook. I know it's an exorbitant, bad example, but buy a notebook for $1,000 if they have one here for $3, $4, $5. I still have to be within reason, but if I understand that the store's here and it's going to save me time and it's going to take more time to go to the other store and it's to send your children to yeshiva and it's within reason, so Hashem pays you back the difference. And it's something that we have to live and practice by, not just learn, not just read in the Sefer, not just darshan and the Gemara like we did last time, but we have to put into practice. So if you're shopping to send your children to Torah and you have the proper kavanah, you're shopping for Shabbos, you see something that's a little bit extra, and I don't think it means if you spend irresponsibly and you spend $1,000,000 to prepare your Shabbos, if Hashem says, I'll pay you back. It has to be with the understanding that it has to be bekavadik and a reasonable amount, and you're going to see it in one of my sources, actually. But then Hashem pays you back. So, like my son and I were discussing on Central Avenue, you should talk and have it in mind when you do your shopping. Really, think about it. Put into practice. Say, Hashem, I know that it's more, but I know that you pay back, and I'm borrowing on your account. So the last thing we read is, let's say a person goes into debt. He buys a new car. I'm going to use this, repeat this paragraph, to go into Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. Okay? If you're not living within your budget to buy this new car that you don't need, you're lacking sustenance. But it doesn't apply to expenses for Shabbos, Yom Tov, sending your children to Torah, and according to Tosfos, Rosh Chodesh, there's no limit on what we can spend for those items. Hashem says, quote, borrow on my account and I will pay. So I'm going to quote from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zichrono Livracha, from the Sefer Simcha, it's not just happiness. When I read this from a Pinchas that the Gemara says, borrow on my account and I will pay, it reminded me of another time that we are allowed to borrow on Hashem's account and he will pay. You're going to see it brought down in two sources. I'm going to begin with Simcha, it's not just happiness, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Okay. So Rabbi Twersky writes as follows, Rabbi Dr. Twersky. He's writing about Simcha. The Sefer is called Simcha, it's not just happiness. The Simcha of joy is achievable. The Simcha of joy is achievable if we remove all obstacles. This is accomplished by implementing varieties of Simcha. It is worthwhile to quote the Nesiv HaShalom. So he quotes the Nesiv HaShalom. Inasmuch as Simcha, and by the way, we have an inan of having Simcha. Yes, on the Yom Tovim we have Simcha's Yom Tov, but on Shabbos, our home should have an aura of Simcha. This Sefer actually has a chapter on the Simcha of Shabbos. Our home should have an aura of Simcha, even though we don't have a mitzvah. Simcha Shabbos, like we have Simcha's Yom Tov, we have Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos. The purpose, certainly, of Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos and bring us closer to Ribbono Shel Olam is that the home should exude Simcha on Shabbos. It shouldn't be a... it's not allowed to be a day of mourning. It should be a day of uplifting joy as we come close to Hashem. So we're calling the Nesiv HaShalom. Inasmuch as Simcha is the key to all gates of Kedusha. Nesiv HaShalom writes that Simcha is the key to all gates of Kedusha. So if you want to access the Kedusha Shabbos, you need to have Simcha and Avodah. Simcha when you prepare for Shabbos, Simcha when you set the table, when you shop, when you cook, when you serve, when you enjoy the food, when you sit down at the meal, because it's the gate to Kedusha. It is obviously not simple as in its meaning, as many assume, which makes it dependent on one's mood, that a person is happy when he has something to be happy about. So people often erroneously think that it's dependent on my mood, simcha. I have something to be happy about, I'll be happy. This cannot be considered to be of lofty spirituality. Rather, what is simcha? Simcha is a unique attitude, a path and principle of life that results from a profound understanding. So simcha is not, if God gives me something to be happy about, I'll be happy. And if he doesn't give me something to be happy about, I won't be happy. Rather, simcha is a unique attitude, a path and principle of life that results from a profound understanding that in all situations, in all circumstances, regardless of whether one perceives you have something to be happy about or not, or whether you have a mood befitting of happiness or not, because the source of simcha is that a Jew rejoices in Hashem's conduct with him. That's the source of simcha, that Hashem, I rejoice, I have simcha, because I have interaction with Hashem. Where is there more profound interaction and connection with Hashem than on Shabbos? Because on Shabbos, we put all the worldly concerns aside. Our speech is supposed to be different. The way we walk is supposed to be different. Our food is supposed to be different. Our dress, everything is dedicated unto the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the true simcha. The source of simcha is a Jew should rejoice. I'm still quoting the Nesiv Hashem, as quoted Rabbi Dr. Tversky. The source of simcha is a Jew rejoices in Hashem's conduct with him. This joy should derive from an intense feeling. Hashem is my trustworthy, merciful Father who is devoted to me. Hashem constantly looks after me to do good for me. And all of God's conduct with me is for my benefit, whether he understands or feels the good or not. That's a source of simcha. And that is not the modern day world source of simcha. The modern day world's identification with simcha is if you have something to be happy about, so you're happy. If life is good, so good, so you're happy. If everything's going smoothly, you're happy. That's not what simcha is in Yehadus. One should be firm in his belief that everything Hashem does, called the Avod Rachmana, the top of it, is for the good. This is why simcha is such a high spirituality. So simcha is synonymous with kedusha, holiness, and ruchnias. When we understand what Hashem gives me is for my good, it is me and the Ribbono Shel Olam. At least the simcha, which is the gateway to kedusha. With this insight, a Jew can feel simcha, even when in distress. And now the Nesiv Hashem quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Imo Anochi Betzara. Hashem is with us in our anguish, in our despair. Whatever happens to a person, even if he falls from a spiritual level, he may be confused by life, he is bewildered, he nevertheless maintains closeness with Hashem. He understands he's not alone in his situation. That's simcha. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is a day to reconnect with our closest to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why we put everything else aside. Shavat. There is a cessation of being involved with this world. And then we come to being close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It leads to Simcha, which leads to Kedusha. Says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, Rabbi Hirsch of Rimanov, Rav Hirsch of Rimanov said, when a person awakens in the morning and he realizes Hashem has returned in his neshamatim, he's a newly born person, he should gratefully sing Hashem's praises. Rav Hirsch of Rimanov said, he knew a chassid of his master, Rav Mendel of Rimanov. So Rav Hirsch of Rimanov's master was Rav Mendel of Rimanov. Rav Mendel of Rimanov has a chassid who danced joyously when he recited the morning prayer. Alokai nishan mashrasata bitaori, he would dance. We may find it difficult to identify with people of such lofty spirituality. Sometimes in life, Rabbi Tversky says, Rabbi Dr. Tversky, we may feel simchas beyond our reach. How can a person be besimcha when they are beset by nisyonos? However, Rav Isaac of Zidishau once asked the chassid, why are you not happy? The chassid said, I have nothing to be happy about. Rav Isaac of Zidishau said, and this is why I brought this to you, listen carefully. Remember the last thing we read in the Sefer? The last thing we read in the Sefer is that when it comes to your expenses of Shabbos, Yom Tov, sending your children to Torah, and Rosh Chodesh according to Tosfos, there's no limit because Hashem says, quote, borrow on my account and I will pay. That's the last thing we read. Why am I bringing this to you? Besides for the fact that when we have Simcha and Kedusha and closest with Hashem, we feel the essence of Shabbos. Listen to the next statement. Rav Isaac of Zidishau once asked the chassid, why are you not happy? The chassid said, I have nothing to be happy about. Why should I be happy? Rav Isaac of Zidishau said, if you needed money but did not have any, you would borrow money from someone, wouldn't you? Well, you need simcha. And if you do not have any right now, borrow simcha. You can borrow against the future happiness. There's much simcha in Torah literature. We can always borrow some of it. And that's why I brought this to you, because that's exactly what it reminded me of. Just like Hashem says, you could borrow money on my account, so too, we can borrow simcha on the Ribbono Shel Olam's account. Brought down by Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky. Simcha, it's not just happiness. Page 49. There is much simcha in Torah literature. We can always borrow some of it. Just like you would borrow money if you need, so too you can borrow simcha if you need. It reminds me very much of a maisa with Yosef HaTzadik, and I want to share it with you. When Yosef HaTzadik was in jail, I want to actually screen share to show you. Okay. Here we go. When Yosef HaTzadik was in jail, could you see that I'm in Bereishis chapter, Perek Mem? Yeah, okay, thank you so much. So Yosef is thrown into jail, okay? And it was after, why? Because Ashes Potiphar tries to seduce him. He runs away. She frames him. By the way, it's first blood libel. Ashes Potiphar against Yosef, but fine. It was after these things. So the cup pourer for Paro and the baker for their master, the king of Egypt, they sinned. Paro is angry at his chamberlains, the Sar Mashkam and the Sar Ofim, and he puts him into prison, the prison of Sar HaTabachim, the chief executioner, which is Potiphar's prison. And that's where Yosef was in jail. And the Sar HaTabachim appoints Yosef as the chief prison warden, and they spend time in jail. And one night they have dreams. Each one dreamed their own dream and the interpretation of the other one's dream. The butler and the baker to the king of Egypt, and they're imprisoned. And Yosef is the warden. Vayivolem Yosef Baboker. Yosef comes to them in the morning. Vayarosam vihine zo'afim. And he sees them, and they're like aggrieved. They're upset. Their faces are smut upon him. Vayusha, as we say, Paroshar Itabri Mishmar Besadon of Leimor, Medua Pnechem Raimayam. They wake up in the morning, they're in jail. Yosef has been in jail. He sold when he's 17. He becomes a viceroy at the age of 30, but he had to wait an extra 2 years because he asked two times to remember him, not forget him. So figure when he's 28, he's been in jail at this point for about 10 years. Depending on how long he was in the house of Potiphar before the attempted seduction, of course, he's here for 10 to 11 years. That's a long time. And these guys just come to jail. They're not here for very long. And they have dreams. And in the morning, their faces are very aggrieved. They're upset. And Yosef asks them, why are your faces bad today? So they say to him, well, we dreamt, and we don't know anyone to interpret our dreams. And Yosef says, well, interpretations are to God. How does he answer? Hello, the Elohim Pitronim. He invokes Shem Hashem. Rashi already tells us. The previous parak, parak lamatas pasuk gimel, va'yar donav ki Hashem ito, as she says, Hashem shemayim shagur b'fiv. Yosef's always talking about Hashem. He's attributing everything to God. And Yosef says, sapunali, tell me your dreams. So what's the kasha? Why is he asking them, why are you upset today? Why wouldn't we be upset today? Why are you upset today? You've been in jail for 10.5 years. Why am I upset? Why are you upset? Of course I'm upset. I'm in prison. My life is on the line. We're in prison with the Sar HaTabachim. The Sar HaTabachim, according to Unkos, is not the chief butcher for cows, for meat. It's the chief executioner. I'm in prison of the chief executioner. Paro is upset. I mean, Paro, we know, is a bloodthirsty. Why am I upset? Why aren't you upset? You've been here for 10.5 years. Of course my face is downcast. Of course I'm angry. Where should I have simcha from? From being in jail? Yosef was asking mitzadik, has a certain equanimity, a hishtavas hanepesh, a simcha. Simcha does not mean happiness, like what the Umas Olam say, drinking beer and having a parade after the Super Bowl winner. That's not simcha. And dropping the ball and partying in Times Square because it's New Year's. It's not simcha. Simcha is being with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Simcha is being at one with Hashem wherever he puts you in your life, even if it's not the most ideal situation of your choosing. So Yosef, Rashi Talamites Gimel, who always has Shem Shemayim, Shagur Befiv, the name of God is in his mouth, wherever he is, he has a sense of tranquility and equilibrium, of happiness of the soul. Simcha, not happiness, simcha, because he knows Hashem is always with him. And in fact, that's the first thing he says. What's Yosef? What does Yosef say when they said we had dreams? The first thing he talks about is Hashem. Halola Elohim Pitronim. Interpretations are to God. He's always talking about God. So that's the source of his security and the source of his simcha. But the Basar Mashkim and the Sar Ofim, who do not understand that and don't live at one with God when it doesn't go their way, Pnechem Zofim, their faces are downcast. Pnechem Ra'imayam, their faces are bad. But an Eved Hashem like Yosef, whose last name is Tzadik, who understands that everywhere that Hashem puts him is for his good, even if you can't see how. So he's able to always be at one with the Ribbono Shel Olam, always talk about Hashem, always have Hashem's name in his mouth, a full amuna that everything is up to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what he says. Hello, Elokim Pitronim. Maybe he's giving, wow, I just saw something. Solutions are up to God. Ooh, I just thought of something. Hello, Elokim Pitronim. Maybe based on this pshat, this question of Yosef, their face and his answer, Yosef is saying a double answer here. Their faces are downcast and aggrieved. He says to them, why are your faces bad today? Reading between the lines, they say to him, what do you mean, why are your faces bad today? Because we're in jail and our life is online. Why isn't your face bad today? You've been here for 11 years. You should be angrier than all of us. And he answers, hello, Elokim Pitronim. I saw something I never thought of before. Maybe he's saying to them solutions. He's not talking about the dreams, in other words. He's saying, I'm not upset. I'm not aggrieved and angry. My face has not fallen because I know that all solutions, all outcomes, all interpretations are up to God. Hello, little computer. Why should I be upset? If I'm in jail, it's because God wants me to be in jail. When Hashem wants me to get out of jail, I'm going to get out of jail. He's answering, wow, this is extremely interesting. Let's look again. Yosef comes to them in the morning and he sees them. They're aggrieved, they're sad. And he asks the chamberlains of Paro that are with him in the prison of the house of his master, Madu pneichem ra'im hayom, why are your faces bad today? And they say back, which is in the white spaces of Torah, why are our faces bad today? Because we're in jail. Why isn't your face bad today? You've been here for a decade. And they say to him, we had a dream. There's no one to interpret it. And Yosef replies back, hello, Elokim Pitronim. Before he says anything about the dreams, he says, are not interpretations, are not solutions, are not answers to our problems up to God. He's actually saying, maybe my face isn't aggrieved or my face isn't bad or upset because I know that the solution is up to Ribbono Shel Olam. When he wants me to get out of here, I'm going to get out of here. It's time for me to be pardoned and clemency. I'm going to be granted clemency. When he wants me to be in jail, I'm going to be in jail because solutions to all of life's problems, interpretations to the mysteries of life, hello, the Elohim, they're up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So why would I be upset? And then Sarpuna Li tell me your dreams. What I see here that I never saw before, what I'm suggesting is really beautiful and fits with the Pshat so beautifully. Saying Lolo Kim Pitronim, the solution to all of our problems up to Ribbono Shel Olam. So when Hashem wants me to get out, I'm gonna get out. So Yosef always had a simcha. He always had a menucha sanefesh. He always had his shtava sanefesh because of his tremendous amuna, Shem Shemaim Shagar Bafif. He never felt a sense of being thrown off of his equilibrium. Wherever Hashem wants me to be, I'm gonna be. And the solution is up to God. When he wants me to get out, I'm going to get out. Okay. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky said, we can borrow on future happiness. If you don't have anything to be happy about right now, borrow on the future. What else can we borrow? We can borrow on God's account for Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, and sending our sons to Lima Torah. Now, Rav Shimshon Pinkas, going back to the Sefer. The same goes for the expense of teaching Torah to one's sons. I'm on page 63, second to last paragraph. The same goes for the expense of teaching Torah to one's sons. If your child is having trouble in school, hire a private tutor. The parenthesis is great. And surely, if he's an excellent student, treat him to a tutor so he can learn an extra daf of Gemara. I really smile because sometimes we put so much effort into the weaker students who need more help, which we should. They need more help, so we put more effort into the weaker students. Rav Shimshon Pinkas is saying, but don't neglect the top student. The top student also needs your attention because he's not a weaker student. Put more resources into him too. If your child, the way is that we put more into the, often we put more into the children who are falling behind, who are failing, who can't keep up with the limudim. But Pinkas says, what about the child who can't keep up with the limudim? Give him something also. If your child is having trouble in school, hire a private tutor. And sure, if he's an excellent student, treat him to a tutor so he could learn an extra daf of Gemara. Yes, you can afford it. Why can you afford it? But even if the tutor is expensive, because no matter what you pay for Torah, Hashem says, I will foot the bill. Quote, when it comes to Torah, no matter what you pay, Hashem says, I will foot the bill. So Hashem says, don't make cheshbonos. Don't be exacting when it comes to Limud Torah. Don't be exacting when it comes to your Shabbos Kodesh meal. Don't, or your clothing for Yom Tov. No, because Hashem says, I will foot the bill for these items. In fact, it makes sense that these are on Hashem's bill, so to speak, says Rav Pinchas. For Chazal say, we're turning the page, top of page 64, a person has three partners in his formation. The Gemara says, Maseches Nida, who is responsible for the formation of every person, for the formation of the child? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his father, and his mother. Okay, there are three partners, not two. When a child is formed, when a child is born, grows in the mother's uterus, when a child is born, it's not two partners, it's three. The Almighty, the Father, and the Mother. Each of these partners contributes a certain portion, the Gemara says. The Father provides the bones and the sinews. The Mother provides the skin, the flesh, and the hair. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a spirit and a soul. So we know that, of course. The neshama, tahora shenasata bi, we just quoted about the neshama from Rabbi Dr. Tversky, the chassid who would sing when he said, Alok haneshama shesata bi tori. So the spirit, the ruach and neshama is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some parents can't contribute that. They could contribute biologically, scientifically, medically, genetically, the skin, the flesh, the hair, the bones, and the sinews. But the neshama is up to Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the ruach and the neshama. Thus, when a child needs food or clothing, who buys the food or clothing? His father and his mother. Because when he needs physical sustenance, it's up to the parents to provide the physical sustenance. They provided the physical formation of the child, so they must provide for the physical sustenance of the child. But when the child needs to learn Torah, Torah is feeding your neshama. When you learn Torah, it's feeding your neshama. It's not feeding your bones, your sinews, your skin, flesh, and hair. So when we feed the physical aspects, the parent has to feed the physical aspect of the child. But when we feed our neshama, when you learn Torah, who pays for Torah? Hashem. Why? Because you're feeding the neshama. Who gave you your neshama? The Ribbono Shel Olam. If the neshama belongs to Hashem, he pays for its expenses. So you see this idea so beautifully that what Pinchas is saying is this makes sense. That's what his actual word was. Yes. His actual lashon was, in fact, it makes sense that these expenses are on Hashem's bill. Why? Because the parents pay for what they created, and God pays for what he created. So if the parents create the gashmius, they pay for the gashmius. And if their Baal Shem created the ruchnius, then Hashem creates the ruchnius. Torah feeds our neshama. So Hashem pays for the Torah. It's beautiful. I'm now quoting from the great Henny Machlis at Tzadikus in our time. Allah HaShalom. I'm just turning to the page I want to be at. 369. Okay. This is a beautiful illustration of what it means that Hashem pays. And I just love when I'm preparing for my shiur. And it reminds me of a story, a maisa, the Chazon Ish famously said that stories of Gedolim and Tzaddikim are the greatest musar. When I'm preparing something I read in a sefer, reminds me exactly of something I read in a book about Gedolim. Okay, so Henny Machlis was a true tzaddikus, a sari menu of our time. The following story is told over by one of her mechatenistas, Tzivia Jasmer. And Tzivia Jasmer says, when Yaakov and Leah, no, this is the Machlis and Jasmer children, not biblical Yaakov and Leah. When Yaakov and Leah became engaged before the Lechaim, the four parents went out to have the conversation about who pays for what. We agreed without problems that we would each pay for half of the wedding. It was a short engagement of just 5 weeks. A couple of weeks in, I, Tzivia Jasmer, realized that the wedding hall they were looking at was huge, and half of the wedding would be way beyond their budget. I called Henny, and I told her that our concept of a normal-sized wedding is obviously different than their concept of a normal-sized wedding. I don't know what to do. I don't want to cause any problems in Shalom between us. But I said to Henny, why do we need such a big hall? So Henny replied, well, we really need to invite a lot of people. Now, I knew the Machlis do this amazing Hachnasas Archim, but I didn't realize that they extend it to every aspect of their lives. So I said to her, well, the last couple's wedding that we made, we had a total of 300 to 400 people. That's what I'm expecting this time, and I agreed to pay half. What are you expecting? Henny said, well, Rabbi Machlis and I have to prepare for the possibility there will be close to 1,000 people. I really wasn't sure what to say. We could not afford to pay for 500 people. It's half the wedding. So I said to her, would you be comfortable if we ask a Rav what to do? And he was completely agreeable. She said, whatever the Rav says, that's what they'll do, and they'll be fine with that. The Rav said, whatever is the normal amount that we would invite, remember this is Tzivi Jasmer telling the story, the Rav said, whatever is the normal amount that we would invite, that's all we're obligated to pay for. I called Hani back. I told her what the Rav says. She says, I am 100% okay with it. So she asked me, how much would it be that, you know, your normal amount, and what are you willing to pay for half? I told her, we'll pay for 200 guests. And she said, thank you, that will help so much. Instead of making me feel I wasn't holding up my end of the deal, she thanked me for whatever I was willing to pay for the wedding. A week and a half, I'm not just telling you this because it's a nice story, you'll see why I'm telling it to you. A week and a half before the wedding, Henny called me. She said, I've been thinking about the wedding. We, the Machlishes, are going to be inviting a lot of people. And after the wedding, through the grapevine, everyone will hear that your son got married. And everyone will hear there were 1,000 people at the wedding. And I don't want you to be walking. Henny called her Machlishes and said, you know, I don't want you to be walking down the street and see someone you know and feel bad they weren't invited to the wedding. You're going to know 1,000 people were there. They're going to wonder why they weren't invited. So I just want you to know that Mordechai, Henny's talking, by Machlishes, and I feel very strongly, anyone and everyone you want to invite, please invite. Don't worry about the numbers. Don't worry about the money. You could still pay for 200 people, and we'll pay for the rest. I was dumbfounded. This is page 369 to 370. I'm quoting. I was dumbfounded. I said to Henny, are you sure you want to take that on? And Henny replied, quote, Hashem is big. Hashem can pay for whatever. And that's what I'm bringing to you. Besides the fact that she was such a tzaddikus with such sensitivity and such inclusiveness for every year and every person. It obviously reminds me of the story because we're talking here about the idea that when it comes to Torah, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, according to Tosos, and Yom Tov, Hashem is very big. Hashem says, borrow my account. You can borrow Simcha on Hashem's account. You can borrow funds on Hashem's account. And Henny understood with so much emunah that everything in her life, since Hashem was so big, I can borrow on his account. So when she told the Mechatenis to invite whoever you want, but you could still pay for only 200 people, which means if we went up to 1,200, the Mechatenis are paying for 1,000. Don't worry. What did Hashem say? What did Henny say? When the Mechatenis said, are you sure you want to take that on? She was dumbfounded. Henny replied, Hashem is big. He can pay for whatever. Going ahead on the Henny Malchus biography, actually going back. This idea that we have to live our lives, that Hashem will take care of us. Again, what Pinchas said, it doesn't mean you can go buy a new car that you don't need if you don't need it. That's not in your budget. And you don't need it. So that's not included in your income for the year. But when we, you know, I bought something in Costco yesterday. I'm going to show you. When I was in Costco yesterday afternoon. I was captivated. I wish we had like a smell share, not just screen share. They're baby guava. I Googled it while I was in Costco to know what to do with them. I literally wish I could smell. My son at 6:30 in the morning, 6:40, getting ready for the bus. He's like, what's that smell? So I picked it up. He says, the whole kitchen smells. It's beyond description. I really wanted to taste one yesterday when I got home. I really bought it because of the smell, baby guava. I mean, I think I have to make a shechenu. I never saw this before. And I really wanted to taste one yesterday because the smell is so captivating and extremely beautiful. I want to taste one yesterday, but I said, Michal, Shabbos is coming. The covered Shabbos, you're going to save them and you're going to taste them on Shabbos. So we're learning that when a person buys within reason for Shabbos, Hashem says, you're not paying for that. I'm paying for that. When you buy something special for Torah learning, you're not paying for it. I'm paying it for it. When you buy something for Rosh Chodesh Yom Tov, we can borrow on Hashem's account. Money, we can borrow on Hashem's account. Simcha. And we have to live with this reality like Yosef HaTzadik, that I can have an equanimity, a hishtavas ha-nefesh, a simcha in my life. Hello, Elokim Pitronim. You're facing a problem? Just say hello, Elokim Pitronim. Hashem, I know the solution's up to you. I know the answer to my prayer. Why should my face be angry? Why should my face be upset? I should be so full of simcha sachaim. Yes, even if he was in jail for 11 years. Because why? Hello, Elokim Pitronim. The key to get out of jail is up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I borrow on his account. Henny Machlishes' mantra was, I have all the time, all the money, all the space. Penny lived in a world of sufficiency. Whatever she had was dayin, it was sufficient. Everything necessary was supplied by a good and loving God. As her daughter Elisheva declared, my mother's mantra was, quote, I have all the money, all the time, I have all the space. But this is humorous because, humorous in an amuna dekwe, humorous to those of us who don't live by this mantra to see the level that she lived on. She always said, I have all the money, although she had no money. She always said, I have all the time. She had no time. She would say, I have all the space, but she had no space because there were 14 children and hundreds of guests. Indeed, this may have been the secret behind all of Henny's accomplishments. And when we know that Hashem certainly is all the time, Hashem is all the money, Hashem is all the space, borrow on God's account. Indeed, this may have been the secret to all of her accomplishments. As her high school teacher, Rabbi Shlomo Taichel, who was a significant influence in her life, explained, some people want to do a lot, but they get overwhelmed. They feel it's too much, too hard. And he never got overwhelmed. Her goal was to do and to help, and she didn't worry about it being too much. As Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, by the way, this is also very nice, because this Shabbos, tomorrow afternoon, we read Perek Beis and Pirkei Avos. And now I'm going to quote from Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis. So when you read the Mishnah tomorrow, think of our shir today. As Pirkei Avos says, Lo alacha hamlacha ligmor. It's not upon you to finish the task, but you're not free to exempt yourself from it, even though Lo alacha hamlacha ligmor, velo ata ben chorini batalmi mena. And he understood this. She was not the one to finish the task. She knew God was going to finish the task. Nevertheless, Lo ata ben chorini batalmi mena. In other words, even if you feel that the task is too huge to finish, do not get overwhelmed. I have all the time, she had no time. I have all the money, she had no money. I have all the space, she had no space. But when you recognize that Hashem is all the time, all the money and all the space, and I only live with God, which Shabbos reinforces more than anything else. Because Shabbos is a day when you put all the weekday aside, all the chol and all the matters of chol aside, and say, Hashem, it's me and you. It reminds us that He is all the time, all the space, all the money. And I'm only living on God's account. Okay, literally, I'm proverbially, not even proverbially, literally. Henny never succumbed to the anxiety of those who draw from a cistern that will inevitably bleed depleted. Instead, she drew from a well connected to the infinite groundwater of God. Whatever she needed was perpetually replenished. Just like underground water is perpetually replenished, so too. Whatever Henny needed was perpetually replenished. And that's really where Rav Shem Pinkus is quoting. The wellspring of Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, and Limud Torah is perpetually replenished. This is the perspective that enabled her to give chizuk even to her own husband. Listen to this. One year, Pesach fell on Motzei Shabbos. You know those years when the first Seder is Motzei Shabbos. Henny cooked for a large Seder for her extended family. They informed everyone else that they would not be hosting that Shabbos. Okay, so it's Shabbos goes into Seder. They cooked a large Seder meal, obviously before Shabbos, for her extended family. And they informed everyone this week the Machleses are not hosting Shabbos. Nonetheless, on Friday night, scores of people showed up for the Leil Shabbos Seuda. Rabbi Machlis did not want to let them in for the Friday night meal. Henny, he said, we need all the food for the Seder. It's Shabbos already. Yom Tov is Motzei Shabbos. She already cooked everything, and now it's Shabbos. Henny wanted to admit them and feed them. Henny said, Mordechai, remember, we're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Tonight, we'll use everything I already cooked for the Shabbos meal, and we'll worry about Pesach tomorrow night. She reminded him of the Gemara. In Beitza 16a, why am I smiling? Because that's exactly where we're up to with Pinkus. She reminded him of the Gemara in Beitza, Tazayin Aleph. The Gemara says, whoever has something to eat today and worries about tomorrow is lacking emuna. She couldn't go back to the supermarket because she's serving a Shabbos meal. So it's not even like you could say, Hashem will give me money to buy food tomorrow. She's serving a little Shabbos meal to scores of people. They're going to have nothing left for the Seder. And you can't prepare on Shabbos for the Seder. She says, Rabbi Malchus, Mordechai, we're going to feed everyone the Shabbos Suda today. Because the Gemara says, in Beitza, Tazayin Aleph, which is the Gemara that we're in based on Pinkas. If you have food in your basket today, anyway, but tomorrow you're Mechaser Emuna. Rabbi Malchus said, Henny said we could not turn them away. So I let them in, and I seated everybody. And all our food for Pesach was eaten on Shabbos. And on Pesach, She just started cooking from scratch. Another story about Shabbos in the Maracha says, often they had no money to buy food to cook for Shabbos. Friday morning would arrive with their coffers and their cupboards empty. Henny would encourage her worried husband, Mordechai, did we ever have to cancel Shabbos for a guest? Do you ever remember it not working out? Once on Friday at 12:30, if it wasn't Henny Max, you wouldn't believe the story. Once on Friday at 12:30, they had not shopped yet. They had hundreds of people for the Shabbos meals. They had no money, and their credit cards were maxed out. Fearing the worst, Mordechai said, even if we get the money, all the supermarkets will be closed soon. Henny refused to give in to anxiety. Hello, the Elohim Petronim. In this year, for the first time, I understood a new interpretation of that statement of Yosef Atzadik. He's not saying the interpretations of dreams are up to God. He's saying the interpretations to our life problems are up to God. So why should I be upset that I'm in jail? Hashem wants me to be here. Why are you upset that you had a bad dream? This is where Hashem wants you to be. Henny refused to give in to anxiety. Should I spend the whole Friday worried about how I'll make Shabbos? She said, come on, Mordechai. I'm quoting page 190. Come on, Mordechai. It's going to work out. Ready? She quoted Rav Nachman Mibreslov. Quote, the same way you can borrow on future money, you can borrow on future happiness that you know will be coming. Remember, we learned that in here, Simchat's not just happiness. Henny says, she quoted Rav Nachman Mibreslov, so by Dr. Tversky, who quoted, if you're a Hasidic rabbi, so it's a Hasidic teaching, just like you can borrow on future money that you know surely will be coming, you can borrow on future happiness that you know will be coming. Most people are sad. Look how the whole shir ties in. Yosef, the piece by Rabbi Dr. M.J. Tversky, are learning from Henny Machas, and it all ties in back to the springboard for the shir, which is of Shimshon Pinkas, who quotes the Gemara Beitza, Tessayin Aleph. Hashem says, you can borrow on my account. She quoted Rav Nachman Mibreslov, in the same way you can borrow future money that you'll know will be coming, you can borrow future happiness that you know will be coming. Many people are sad when they have troubles. They're happy later when the matters are resolved. Rabbi Nachman said, no. If you realize eventually, if you believe things will be good, borrow on the future happiness and you'll be happy now. Henny, the irrepressible optimist, you cannot repress her optimism, was confident that Hashem would somehow provide the funds to buy food to feed his children, as he had for thousands of previous Shabbosos. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. They didn't have any money. But Shabbos expenses are not coming from your bank account. They're coming from God's bank account. And so she refused to give in to anxiety. And she knew with confidence Hashem would buy the food to feed his children as he had for thousands of previous Shabbosos. Standing in an empty kitchen on a 12:30 on Friday afternoon, she borrowed on future happiness. Rabbi Machlis says this happened not once and not twice, and yet rescue always came. Mordechai, emboldened by his wife's encouragement, either convinced someone to lend him the money, he called former students in America, he asked them to donate funds to sponsor Shabbos, armed with the distant donor's credit card number, Mordechai rushed to the only supermarket in Jerusalem that accepted a number instead of an actual card. As they were getting ready to close, he would rush through the aisles, tossing, quote, Shabbos supplies into the cart. On Friday night, he said, Henny would smile at me. Her face was saying, why did you have to be so nervous? Madua pneichem ra'im hayam. Hello, the Elohim Petronim. At the Sefer, the book about Henny does not quote Yosef, but it ties in so perfectly. And the part that was astonishing is that to the public, the scores of guests walking in with the pots bubbling on the stove and the table set for Shabbos, no one would have believed that a few hours before there was nothing. This is an exceptional, real life, in our day and time example. But the Gemara says in Beit HaTaz Zayin Aleph, Shabbos is from the Ribono Shel Olam's bank account, not yours. Rabbi Machlis quotes the Medrash about two righteous people married to each other. They divorced and each one married a wicked person. The righteous man married to the wicked woman became wicked. The wicked man married to the righteous woman became righteous. The Medrash concludes, Hakol min ha'isha, everything is from the wife. Remembering his beloved wife, Rabbi Machlis sums up, a very great percentage of all of my life accomplishments are directly linked to Henny's love and support. So we see how from everything we've spoken about today, how Shabbos comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when we burn Hashem's account, you'll truly find Simcha. And what is Simcha? Simcha is not what the Ummah Shel Olam says Simcha is. Simcha is knowing that wherever I am is where Hashem wants me to be. And that's the essence of Shabbos. It's a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because Simcha is the gateway to Kedusha. Kedusha is the gateway to Shabbos. Shabbos is the gateway to the understanding that everything we have is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. With that, I wish you a Gittin Chodesh, what you spend for Chodesh, according to Tosfos, also comes from Hashem's bank account, and a wonderful, uplifting, and meaningful, and beautiful Shabbos Chodesh. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov, Tisku, Mitzvos, Lomaisim Tovim, to our wonderful, generous sponsor and her family. Kol Tov, thank you so much.